going to go to Madrid. What song are we going to do? Say, Jesus loves me. Just me and you up here. Ready? Let's count to three. One, two, three, go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. Little ones do tell me who again is drunk. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Yes, pray. Dear God, Auntie, thank you for the baby shower, and thank you for the baby shower, and opening presents, and Jesus' name, amen.
We will be singing 176, Lamb of God. Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your Son to walk upon this guilty side and to be called the
Lamb of God, I love the world. I'll be singing 881, 881, Mansion Over the Hilltop. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold, but in that city where the rest of still shine, I want a gold one, that silver.
Read it, 1 Timothy chapter 5, and then say a prayer for elders. I'll be reading 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day to worship you and be in your praise. At this time, we would like to thank you for our elders. Help them to continue to show love and compassion to your family. Guide them as they guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's try this again. See if we can't get this song right. I will be singing 774, Hide Me Rock of Ages, verses 1 and 3. Oh, the blessed Rock of Ages, trusting thou, dear Lord, in thee, keep me to my journey's ended. Till thy blessed face I see.
Good job to our young people. Good job, Evan. We'd like to welcome our members and visitors, and we ask each one of you to fill out attendance cards, place them in the pew in front of you, and somebody will pick them up later after services. Please continue to pray for those who are sick, grieving, and shut in. There'll be a baby girl diaper pounding for Connor Webster beginning today and will go through Sunday, January the 30th. Items may be placed in the basket located in the main foyer. Go ahead and mark your calendars for March 12th through the 13th. We're having a marriage weekend workshop here at Florence Boulevard. Be sure you attend, invite your family and friends. And I learned today in the meeting it'll be Dale Jenkins and Brother Jeff Jenkins leading that for us. That should be really good. June Green's food team will meet tonight in the 49ers classroom, and they'll plan for the food for Thursday night's room in the inn. And then also, Judy's team will meet down front tonight to plan for the food for Friday night. So room in the inn will be Thursday night and Friday night this week. So there's no other announcements. We'll begin our worship.
It is good to see a good crowd here. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand as we begin our worship.
Lord, we come before thee now, at thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit disdain, shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest strength, but only lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to pain.
Amen. You may be seated. Next song this evening will be Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Wonderful, Merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend. Oh.
opening prayer this evening. We'll sing number 768, Jesus, Let Us Come to Know You.
Jesus, let us come to know You. Let us see You face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, hold us, only.
Father in heaven, we're indeed grateful that we can come together freely tonight to assemble, to worship, to hear more of Your word spoken to us. Father, we pray that You will help us to open our hearts and our minds to learn exactly what Your word says to us and not color it with any traditions or with any of our own thoughts, but simply with the thoughts that You are putting into Your word. Father, we pray that You'll bless each of us as we study and learn tonight. Help us to use this wisdom. Father, we thank You for those who teach and those who preach and those who have part in leading in worship. Thank You for the effort and the work that goes into that. Father, we pray that You'll continue to bless our elders just as Mac led the prayer earlier. Pray that You'll give them good health and good strength and wisdom and clear thoughts. May their spouses be in good health also, Lord, so that they can continue to serve them, to serve You to their best. Father, we thank You for those who have been sick or injured or in the hospital and are back with us. We thank You for answering those prayers. Father, there are many more in the hospital this evening that are in need of Your care and comfort. Father, we pray for Greg Elrod's dad and for Don Williams' dad. We pray for Dee Williford as she's about to go through some more tests and possible surgery. Father, we pray that You would be with Bailey Mae Pruitt as she is about to have surgery done on her this Tuesday. Pray that You'll be with the doctors and those who tend to her. Help them to have clear thoughts and calm hands and to know exactly what to do to help her. Father, there are many who are in the hospital with COVID or at home with COVID. We pray that You'll bless Pat and Ray Carpenter and with all the others who are suffering from COVID, Lord. We know that this is a plague on the entire world, but Father, there's something far worse than COVID or cancer. That is sin. Father, we know that sin causes more grief and more anguish, more pain and sorrow than all the diseases that we could imagine. Father, we pray for a revival in this nation, in this congregation, Lord, even. We pray that You'll continue to help us to look forward, to look to You for guidance in everything. Pray that You'll bless the works that are going on in this congregation, those of the Room in the Inn or helping with people in need. Father, pray that You'll bless those who are carrying out Your work in small ways and in large ways. Help them to do so without any thought of self-gratification or glorification, but only to make You proud of them. Father, pray that You'll continue to bless us throughout this night. Help us to do our best. We pray that You'll be with those that are traveling. Help them to reach your destination safely. We pray that You'll watch over them and bring them back to us safely. Father, we ask You to go with us throughout this week, if it be Your will that we should live that long. Help us to be good examples to each other and to those who see us. Help us to continue to serve You and to be a blessing to those who we come in contact with. not to withhold anything or to be good stewards of all blessings that you give us. Father, these things we ask in the name of Christ. Amen.
My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in morning till late at night, my only hope is you. My only peace is you, Jesus. My only peace is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is you. My only joy.
For our message, we'll sing, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. If you'd like, please stand as we sing this song and remain standing for our scripture reading immediately following.
Lord, I lift name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your praises. I'm so glad You're in my life. I'm so glad You came to save us.
From Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Please be seated.
Hey, church. After that singing, I'm about to jump off the stage. I just had to wipe the sweat off the palms of my hands because I'm going to drop my Bible if I'm not careful. The energy is great. The spiritual energy is great. Thank you for that. Especially on a Sunday night. I don't know why. Sunday nights, not all of our church family is here. Wish that wasn't the case. I wish everybody would be here on a Sunday night. It's hard for me to skip a meal. I'm not skipping any of them. And I don't know how people, I hope nobody will ever skip a spiritual meal. All right? And I want you to encourage people with that. You're missing out on spiritual sustenance that God is preparing for you. So encourage somebody you don't see here tonight. Find them and encourage them in that. Even with all that energy, John and I have been talking. And he has really worked to slow my roll, to prepare me for something. He sat me down. He said, Austin, we just have to think about people. And I calmed down in the office because I anxiously write and type and I furiously flip pages and I read and he just said, slow it down. Because he said, people are in need. He said, people you love need a message from the Word. They may not need it in the moment, but they're going to need something in the future that only God can provide. Like Bob, you said. So I want to preach something tonight that you may not need in this moment, but there may come a day when you're going to need it. I want you to be prepared for it. Because I've had the unfortunate privilege, and that may sound like an oxymoron, but the unfortunate privilege to recently get to sit down with some brothers and sisters in Christ who are just really struggling with sin. Man, I hate that. I hate that because I see their hurt and I see the lost look in their eyes and how they feel like they're never going to be able to win. And I just want everyone to know you can win in Christ. I get the unfortunate privilege to have conversations with people whose faith is wavering. And those are really hard conversations to have. So I want you to be a person who has an immovable, imperishable, and unshakable faith. Because there's coming a time when you're going to hit a spiritual pothole. You may have already passed some of them, busted your tire, threw you off the road, you're left in the ditch. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You look back on those moments and those seasons of life, and you see the brokenness, and you feel the hurt, and you're reminded of how lost that was. Maybe you haven't faced that yet. There's coming a time, because the deceiver is great at his job. And rather than just spending all of our time talking about being tempted by the tempter, I'm going to focus our thoughts on how to be sculpted by the sculptor. Because I'm somebody who believes that God uses trials as tests to grow our faith. And it can grow your faith if you let it. We went up to Indianapolis, Indiana on a Saturday to watch Kentucky put a hurting, an absolute hurting, on a team in the Indiana Pacers basketball arena. It was beautiful. Driving home late on a Saturday night because I was teaching Bible class the next morning, and that was the priority number one, regardless of what it took to get back. Little did I know that was going to be a statement I would eat very soon. We're driving back. We're on a highway making our way down from Indianapolis to West Kentucky in Calvert City, Kentucky, where we lived. And all of a sudden, I'm driving, and we had I think it was a 2002 or 3, I can't remember the exact, 2002 or 3 Toyota Matrix, and it was beautiful. It was powder blue hatchback, a vehicle that everybody dreams of driving as a 24-year-old man. Had some great hubcaps on 3 of the 4 tires. The thing was a beaut. My four-cylinder engine was buzzing down the highway, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom! The car jerks, because it weighed 75 pounds. Pull over on the side of the road. Tire completely blown into shreds. It's about midnight. We're several hours away. You know what happened? You'll have to find out in a little bit. Sometimes we hit potholes. No. Every life will hit a spiritual pothole. Question is, will you be ready for it when it happens? Let's get ready tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, the Bible says this. After Abraham was tested by offering Isaac up on the altar. I'm going to go to a couple pages, so if you don't want to flip to each one, that's okay. That one's going to be quick. Notice, though, that Abraham was what? Say it with me. Tested. Abraham was tested, and the Hebrew writer knew he was tested because when in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, what does the Bible say in verse 1? That God, guess what it said? God tested Abraham. How? By taking his firstborn child, the child of promise, the one through which the whole nation was going to come. This is a child of promise and anticipation. Put him up on the altar. So he went up on Mount Moriah. But before he got to Mount Moriah, can you imagine what that must have been like? The fact that he even gave his son the wood to burn himself on. Did you catch that? He had to carry his own wood up the mountain. And his dad knew it. God tested Abraham. And because Abraham went and felt the depth and the pain and the lost emotion and thoughts of what that test was like, in his faith, faith that was immovable, imperishable, unshakable, we now know that God provided a ram in the thicket. See, when he hit his pothole, he was ready, come what may. Now, I want us all to be ready because the day of spiritual pothole hitting may is upon us. So Mark chapter 4, that's where we're going to go look at the text. Mark chapter 4, 35-41. It's a familiar story that Kyle read. Thank you for reading it. A very familiar story. And that's the text, if you don't have it in the Bible in front of you. A familiar story that I want to make maybe an unfamiliar application with. Because if you're looking at the verses on that day in verse 35, when evening had come, he said to them, let's go across to the other side. So they left the crowd in verse 36. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. And where was Jesus, church? Asleep at the stern. You think Jesus knew? I really believe that Jesus knew what was coming on the water that day. When I was 16 years old, before in Kentucky, before you could get your permit or your driver's license in the Johnson household. You see, there were tests you had to pass for the state of Kentucky, but then there are tests you had to pass for Michael Eugene Johnson. That test was, son, get in the car. We're going somewhere and you're going to do something. All right, Dad, let's ride. So we hop in the vehicle. He pulls out onto the bypass, the major bypass in town. He pulls off, hits all those rumble strips. We're off on the road. Cars are zooming by. He said, oh, no, I just hit a flat tire. Go change it for me. Oh, okay. So I had to get out, find the jack, find the tire rod, find the spare tire, pull it over here, rip off the lug nuts in the right order as Dad watches from behind. And he put me on the outside. I wasn't over there with the other vehicles, for the record. Cars are zooming by. I'm a child. He sat there and made me change that tire on the side of the bypass. Why? Because he knew there would come a time when I'm driving by myself and I hit a pothole. And when the pothole comes, guess what his son better be? Ready for it. And if you're not ready for it, you will fail in it. I'm grateful for Michael Eugene Johnson. He made me, my twin sister, and my older sister all go through that process. Good job, Dad. Because Indianapolis, Indiana came, I could change that tire. Not a big deal to some of you men. You've built cars before. Now, we had to drive on the donut all the way back home in Calvert City, Kentucky. We got back about 3:30 in the morning. We didn't miss worship that next morning, though. Taught class. I was ready for the pothole because a father saw it fit to be sure I was prepared. I'm convinced that Jesus knew what was on the water that night. And here's my thought. If Jesus knew, and I think he did, do you think he knew that the disciples needed the test? God already tested Abraham, Genesis 22, Hebrews 11, 17. God was clearly aware that people need tests. Why? Because tests can become showcases and growing moments of faith. We can get there in the tests of life. And so Jesus, asleep in the stern, I think keenly aware of what storm was about. There are passages that talk about this test principle. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Say it with me, church. Perseverance. Psalm 66, 10 and 11. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You've caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. So search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. See, I think God allows tests to come because he knows his children need to be ready and their faith needs to grow and increase. And I think he knew what was coming on the water that day. Not only did I think he knew what was coming on the water, I think he used the storm to show his ever-abiding presence. In the midst of the storm, Jesus is there. And when we face trials, and when those moments are coming, like the moments I speak about with people in my office, or at a coffee shop, or at their house, when I'm talking to them, my job as a minister of the gospel, and as a brother in Christ, is to go, listen, when you were in that situation, and they came in, and they said this, and you stood up and you responded, don't you know what God wanted from you in that moment? See, you didn't have to say that, do that, give into that, involve yourself with that, if this. I get to point people back to the fact that Jesus was there. And so I get to show people that their failures become the platform and the foundation for their influence of their life. Jesus is ever present in the storm. Because he's going to use the storm to grow the faith, to be the influence of your life. And then, I think Jesus even used his sleep. A couple reasons and options of how Jesus used his sleep to build immovable, imperishable, unshakable faith. Watch this. What if option number one, Jesus used sleep to reveal how the disciples would respond in a storm? If Jesus knew that the storm was coming, and I think he did, he knew that the disciples would have to react to the storm in some way, knowing that he was asleep. If Jesus knew the storm was out there, he chose to go to sleep. Not like somebody, when it gets hot and you're sitting still. I think Brooks fell asleep within 2.5 seconds after Pew Packers over there. He got hot and got still, and he got out. I'm not going to talk about the others in this moment. I don't think he just accidentally dozed. Because the waters were raging. Water was coming into the boat. It could have capsized. What if Jesus intentionally used his sleep, maybe to prove a point of how the disciples would react in the storm? You see, they had the opportunity to trust. They could have sat still, sat silent, and would have known that because Jesus is with me, I know the storm is past and we will be okay. But even if we're not okay, I know Jesus is with me, and that's enough. And so when we face trials in life, when we hit spiritual potholes, here's what we need to remember. Here's what we need to remind ourselves. And maybe that's it. Slow your roll. Here it is. You need to remind yourself. Jesus is with you. Be still in the storm. Because this storm shall too come to pass. When you face those trials, your mind will be everywhere. Your heart will be everywhere. You're wondering, am I going to lose that relationship? Will they be able to look me square in the eye ever again? Don't wander down that path of uselessness. See Jesus and be still in the storm. Maybe he used his sleep to reveal how the disciples would respond. Would they trust him or not? Maybe he used his sleep to prove that it's possible to have peace in the storm. If Jesus was, in fact, the perfect example of how we ought to live our life, not only was he tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4:14-16, he became the model of excellence and holiness for life and living. And so maybe he's proving to us how we can have stillness in the storm. Here's our lesson as we come to a close. I want us to be aware of God's tests that can grow our faith. Life will either make you bitter or make you better. That's a good phrase to remember. You can either be bitter about the potholes that you've hit and the turmoil that you've gone through and the tests that God has allowed you to go through. You can be bitter by it. But what does bitterness do? It spoils the soul. Or you become better. Because what does an attitude of being better do? It becomes soil for the soul to grow. Immovable, imperishable, unshakable faith. Remember that God is always with you. And allow faith in an ever-present Savior to be your still in the storm. I was in high school as a freshman. My dad came to me before my freshman year of school. Man, I just wanted to be as good of a dad as my father was. Is. Sorry. But he came to me and he said, son, the answer is no. It's like, Dad, what are you talking about? I haven't even asked for anything yet. He said, the answer is no. And I'll explain. People are going to ask you to do a lot of things. They're going to want you to go a lot of places. But I'm already telling you no. If you're nervous, ashamed, or embarrassed to say no for yourself, you always have an answer of no. I'm preparing you for what's coming. And I so appreciate, I didn't appreciate the moment. But when the time came, I pulled it out of my back pocket. This may seem like a simple sermon, because you may be on a smooth road. But I pray you keep this in a back pocket. And when the time comes, you know what the answer is. And you know how to find peace in the midst of your storm. We want to be a church that increases faith. And we believe in God. And we're helping each other go to heaven. If you need help in that journey, if you need encouragement along the way, boy, it is great to be in the family of God. So you can respond now if you need to. Let's stand up and sing a song of invitation.
There is a place of quiet rest near to your heart.
You may remain standing. We want to thank everybody again for being here, for choosing to be here. Thank you very much. We want to encourage everybody to be back for our midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30. If you are here tonight and were not able to take communion this morning, that is prepared in the room right behind the wall in the back to my right. You can go ahead and be dismissed at that time. At this time, we're going to close with the verse of a song, and then we'll be dismissed with a prayer. Number 895.
I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days, and watch the fleeting changes of life's uneven ways. But if my Savior calls me to that sea home on high, I'll live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh yes, I'll live in glory by.
We thank you for this day. We thank you for being able to gather here with our church family and our friends, and we thank you for the fellowship, and thank you for everyone that's here, and please help us to look for you for the peace that we seek every day. Please help us to be a good example for those around us this week in our work and our schools, and please help us to stay healthy and safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.